The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I'm the sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but smile because you may be on candid camera. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget, especially now, media making everyone dumber in America. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I was bored and I needed something to do. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Like, how can our prayer warriors pray for you? What can we do to be praying for you? Now, in a little bit, we're going to be praying for Israel because the scripture commands in Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Israel. That's exactly what we're going to do. I am highly familiar with everything that's going on and deeply in touch with certain people. I want you to be aware we are moving forward because the one thing you do in the kingdom of God is you keep moving forward until the trumpet blows. That's what you do. So in the meantime, we're going to give you an opportunity to reach out to us. Again, we will be praying in a little bit, but we want to make sure you know that if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, not a kvetch, and probably not the best time to drop in your most brilliant eschatological elements on Israel. I'm just sharing that with you right now. You still have that opportunity to share. And so this is what I'd say to you. Give us a call. If that's going to help you, let's do it. All you got to do is call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, I want you to be aware. I want you to actually be prepared. Because when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation, something the Lord does desire of each one of us. Additionally to calling in, you know you can text in live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. A very not professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, connecting it to John 3:30. Jesus was walking by, and John said, he must increase, I must decrease. which is what each one of us wants. So if you want to send me an email during the show, you can do that live. So right now it is 11:36 in San Diego, and it is 1:36 here in Dallas. So you know what's going on. It's live. It's right at this moment. We're also going to send you up to the website. On the website is many encouraging elements. Not just encouraging in the sense of that a boy, but encouraging when things are hard, things are difficult. There's audio, there's video, there's sermons, there's different articles. And what I would tell you is there's also an opportunity to partner with our ministry. If you like what we're doing and you think this is a good ministry to keep pushing forward, partner with us. If you like it but you don't can't partner, then pray for us. Do whatever you can do over your time, talent, and treasure, and help us move this forward the best we can, because I'm not doing this alone. I got to do this with my brothers and sisters. Please check out all that information on the website, by the way, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yeah, that was me just the other day. I'm just telling you right now. I said something to Noelle. I went, I take that back. It was a little late, though. Didn't quite be able to pull that off. I try, though. All right. We're not going to get too deep into this, but I want to make sure everybody understands a couple things right off the bat. So you know that Israel was attacked. You know what's going on. Most people are aware of it. We're going to follow Psalm 122, verse 6, which says, pray for the peace of Israel. I've had a lot of people want to know, well, you know, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Whose fault it is? I'll make this so easy. You'll never get this wrong. It's mankind's fault. We're the ones that rebelled against God, stuck our fist up against his face, and said, we're not going to follow you. And the result was sin, disease, sickness, war, everything. So before you start just simply pointing fingers, let's be aware we're all in on this. That's why we need redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some people that are like really freaking out on social media. I'm going to encourage you, just as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian who's also a brother of yours in the Lord, don't over-soak yourself in social media on this material. I'm already highly disappointed in how the entire media has broadcast the whole thing, no matter what extreme they're going to. They're going to some extreme to support their agenda. It's just disappointing. In the meantime, we come before the Lord and ask God to bring the peace and the grace upon Israel that is necessary for the people of Israel and for the beloved of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you and praise you for everything. And there is nothing that you allow that does not have a purpose. There has never been an event that has taken place, that has gotten by you. Not once. Not ever. And so we humble ourselves before you with thanksgiving in our heart, and we pray, according to your word, for the peace of Israel. We're not going to tell you how to do it. We certainly pray that people who are in just these dire situations, these captives, these people who have been kidnapped, that, Lord, you can bring that to a close immediately. But we pray for peace, Lord, and I say this sincerely, Lord, unless this is going to be part of the plan that just brings you back sooner, Jesus, then come, Lord Jesus. I know we all have brilliant thoughts, but we just take all of our faith and all of our compassion, we lay them at your feet, and we say, please pour out your peace on your beloved Israel. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Okay, so I'm sure we'll get into this later on as things start breaking out. If you really want to get an understanding of how this should go, I would encourage you to read Numbers chapter 24. You can do that after the show, by the way, because we're still doing the show right now. And in fact, we are in 1 Timothy, for those who do not know. We're in 1 Timothy. We are in chapter 6. We're at the wind down. There's like two more, maybe three more that are going to be in 1 Timothy, and then we'll be switching out of that book altogether. Here we are in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, and it says the following. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So let's just talk about this for a split second. I want you to understand what Paul is saying to Timothy. Just follow what I'm going to say. He lists a bunch of things that are superb in importance. He says, pursue. There are some things you should pursue in life. You know what you probably shouldn't pursue? A high cholesterol diet. You probably shouldn't pursue that, right? You probably shouldn't pursue things that are not good for you, that are bad for you, that are detrimental to you. But there are some things that we should pursue. There are some things that we should, in fact, when you hear the word pursue, you know what it means? It means run towards. And so we're supposed to run towards certain things. What are those things? Paul lists those as righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. So I want to point this out to people. They sound very religious. Oh, pursue righteousness. Oh, pursue gentleness, goodness. I mean, they all sound super like, you know, pious in their own way. Here's the truth. They may sound like very hallowed in religious terms, but righteousness in this case is walking in what is appropriate, and godliness is marrying, like being a mirror of, a reflection of, sorry, the life of Jesus Christ. So when it says godliness, it talks about being a reflection of Jesus. When it talks about righteousness, it's talking about walking in the things that are right. And you know oftentimes what is right and what is wrong. And when we know what is wrong and still do what is wrong, we're not walking in righteousness. He also tells Timothy to run towards love and faith and patience and gentleness. Now, what's amazing about those, the love, patience, and gentleness, the last three, is it speaks of a really interesting attitude or disposition that a man of God has in authority in the kingdom of God. Because they're leaders, they should be filled and pursued and running towards love and patience and gentleness. So that when they're dealing with people, they can be loving on people, they can be patient with people, and they can be gentle with people. I just want to say, I don't care what pastor in what city, if he's a genuine pastor, that is no easy task. That requires a great deal of fortitude in the kingdom of God. Sometimes I hear things and I see things, and I know that self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is working in me, because my head is still attached to my neck and it's not completely red. And I have this sense that sometimes leaders, they lead and they direct and they help and they coordinate, and sometimes people respond a certain way, and what Paul is saying to Timothy is, you know, you need to really load up here on the love and the patience and the gentleness. Most of the time when we're impatient, just so you can know, not just with people but with God, we don't like the timetables. Israel was in bondage for 400 plus years. I don't think we would have liked the timetable. Those of us who are type A personalities, right? But that's what patience requires. And then he tells them this, and this might be, I think when I get into these passages, these are the things that I gravitate to. I'm just telling you. He says this in regards to all these great things. He's telling him, be a great guy, do this, have a lot of patience, have a lot of gentleness, be cool, man. It's all right. Fight the good fight of faith. Because, Timothy, there's going to be spiritual warfare. There's going to be warfare that looks like warfare that's actually more spiritual than you know. There will be people who are going to be used against you. There's going to be spiritual warfare against you. There's going to be fights that you need to have in your good faith. You got to stand firm. And you don't run away from any of those things. But he does tell them this, which is amazing. He says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Listen, this is so big. Timothy is told to lay hold of eternal life because the truth is, without eternal life, this whole thing is pointless. There is no such thing as an existential Christian. Doesn't exist. It's an oxymoron like jumbo shrimp. What I'm trying to tell you is this. We do all this because of what's coming. Jesus endured all that he endured because of that which is coming. He put up with all of the grief and all of the frustration and all of the irritation and all of the things that he had to put up with because of the joy that was set before him. And how do you and I handle not just our daily elements, but these national elements and these world elements that are absolutely driving us crazy? We do it by laying hold of eternal life, because in 100 years, none of it will matter. You will take none of those feelings and frustrations into heaven, but you will take your relationship with God into heaven. So the key here is to make sure that we, along with Timothy, that's why we're all reading it, lay hold of eternal life. Because without that, we're in trouble. Okay? All right. Do our first trivia question, whether you're in San Diego or in Dallas, you can answer this trivia question. Like I said, 11:47 in San Diego, 1:47 here in Dallas. What was Jesus called? Was he called Jesus the Great, Jesus the Punisher, or Jesus the Messiah? Was he called Jesus the Great, Jesus the Punisher, or Jesus the Messiah? What was Jesus called? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So that's the question. Was he called Jesus the Great? Hey, it's Jesus the Great. Is it Jesus the Punisher? Hey, it's Jesus the Punisher. Or is it Jesus the Messiah? Hey, it's Jesus the Messiah. Which of those three was he called? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I know, as people are listening to the show, they're probably saying, why aren't you more angry, Dave? Come on, you're saying it. And the answer is I was angry. And I still am, to a large degree, angry. But I'm also highly aware that what I perceive is not what God's plan always is. And surrendering to God and trusting him in the midst of the worst of it is the very calling each one of us has. Please, if you get nothing from this show ever, please understand that trusting in the quality of God is the absolute best way to go. All right, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. We will send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, David. I'm great. I'm listening to the program and enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, thank you. That's so much. I'm very, very glad to hear that. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, you ready for this trivia question? Are you excited?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go.
Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go. This is a good one. Okay, was Jesus called Jesus the Great, Jesus the Punisher, or Jesus the Messiah?
Well, he was all of those things when he needed to be, but he's definitely called the Messiah.
That is correct, Amanda! Jesus the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed. And what's great is, do people really understand that? People always come out and they go, well, I'm chosen. This is the chosen one of God. And so it's a lot different than going, I'm special, I'm chosen. Okay. But see, this is the chosen of God. It's like, okay, that just kind of separates everything else. Excellent job on the trivia. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dallas. This is my lunch break, and I love listening to your program. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of things happening in the world today, and we're just so comforted listening to you and the Word of God.
Amen. I mean, you know what? All these things are going to go up and down, but you know what? The Word, not one jot, not one tittle. We got something that is so concrete, we can keep stability in the midst of instability all around us, right?
Amen.
Amen. Excellent job. A plus on that one. Great job. Thank you. Thank you. You have an absolute blessed week, okay?
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, excellent. So now, wait, because we're not done. Why would you think we're done? Okay, just relax. All right, now we got to go back to the text because there's something in this text that's just like, you got to see this, you got to see this. Remember, we're at the end of 1 Timothy, and then after 1 Timothy, we're going into Titus. And I did make a switch, just so you guys can know, just to keep you guys on your toes. In about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to switch times where we're doing books. That's right. It's not always perfect. Sometimes we just go with the flow here. But here's this thing that Paul says to Timothy. It's an amazing statement because he says right after he tells him, he goes, look, he goes, you got to lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. Okay, so we're called to this and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So there's many times where it's like, eternal life, baby. I know everybody wants to tell everybody how smart they are and they want to win every argument. But you know what a lot of people would really love to hear? There is actually eternal life. They would love to hear that. Instead of having the argument where you can win hands down, offering them hope is so much more powerful. It's so much better of a witness. It's not even funny. And so here, verse 13, Paul says this, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things. Okay, so can we just start right there? God is a God of life. He didn't want man to rebel, but he gave man that opportunity. And man chose poorly. But God, who's a God of life, and before Jesus Christ, he says, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. I want you to stop right there and just recognize this, okay? Paul is urgently calling Timothy to give himself to these things that he talked about, make these things a priority in his life. They can't be afterthoughts. They got to be part of what he's doing. They got to be part of his pursuit. And remember, to pursue is to run towards it. So these are priorities. And in lieu of these priorities, Paul writes him and says, hey, make sure you give a good witness to these things to other people, just like Jesus gave a good witness to Pontius Pilate. So there's two things I want to say about that, right? Jesus wasn't milk toasty when he talked to Pilate, okay? Okay, this is one of my little peeves. Jesus didn't walk around and he had, not just long hair, but he had these beads and had these peace symbols all around him. And he was walking around in sandals and this long flowing robe like he was like a Doobie Brother in some kind of cartoon. Okay, that is not Jesus. He was a carpenter, which no doubt meant he had some muscles. You know what I'm saying? Like he's probably built pretty well. Here's the bottom line to that. He wasn't milquetoast, but you know what he also wasn't to Pontius Pilate? He wasn't obnoxious either. So when you're having a disagreement with somebody and you're not winning, grabbing a megaphone and yelling right in their face with the megaphone is not also not brilliant. In other words, there's two sides to that, right? Be a witness. Be a good witness. Don't be milquetoasty and don't be annoying. Okay, be a witness. Just share what's going on. And then, wait, and then he says this. And then he says, verse 14, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless. Wait, until our Lord Jesus Christ appears, which he will manifest in his own time. Now, this doesn't fly well with certain people. Well, I understand, Dave, but we can know this, this, and this. Okay. You understand when you read it, it's there for a reason. And so Jesus will manifest in his own time. One of the things I loved about Pastor Ray, and he's one of the first people I thought of once I got through all the Israel news, is because Ray and I loved one thing about each other. So we didn't agree eschatologically, but we loved each other, so we could care less. But we would say to each other, if something bad happens to Israel, everything is speeding up. We would say that to each other. Well, everything is speeding up, folks. I mean, that's all I say. I don't care how you see the end happening. It's speeding up. I mean, the speed is like getting to a hyperdrive kind of mentality. But he says, look, keep this all going until the Lord returns. So what does that mean? It means we keep going until Jesus comes back. We don't stop doing this until the trumpet blows. We don't give up. We don't quit. We don't turn away. We keep going until the sky changes to such a level as that it splits wide open and Jesus is there. The wind comes, doesn't matter. Jesus is going to be manifested in his own time, not the timetables we've set up for the Lord to comply with. And regardless to that, the point is that we keep going until he breaks the sky wide open, until we hear the trumpet. You know what you do? You take one foot and put it in front of another, and you put it in front of another, and you keep walking to the purposes of God. Because as soon as you let, as soon as you let the things that you hear and see stop you from walking, you'll start sinking in the water. Uh-oh! That's a good one, Dave. I know. That's a good one. Even I think that was a good one. Got to be firm in that. You keep going until the Lord doth return. All right, if you're in San Diego, we love you. We want you to keep listening. You can do that through HeMustIncrease.org. If you're in Texas, you just keep listening on KAAM. Either way, we're going to take a short break, come back. There's so much more. I think it'll be a blessing. We'll do our best. Don't go anywhere.
I was driving down I-30 yesterday, and it was stop and go traffic. There's, an accident up ahead. So I was putting along at 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, and this little sports car would speed up and get right beside me, and then he'd fall back. You know, just kind of we're shuffling back and forth. He'd go, and I'd go, and he'd go, and I'd go. And I just was watching out of the corner of my eye and just kind of mindlessly driving at 20 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little beep, 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 beep. And I said, uh-oh, what did I do? And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and he drove right up next to me. He had his windows rolled down, and he gave me a big old thumbs up. And I said, what's he giving me a thumbs up for? I was kind of expecting, when you have somebody honking at you, you're expecting something else, you know? And then I realized I have that bumper sticker on yours God created the universe. He can write a book. And then he just sped off. He slowly drove off at 20 miles an hour. But I just thought that was neat. That's the first time that anybody's really gives a thumbs up for a bumper sticker. Usually people that have bumper stickers, it's to hold their bumper on their car. But
I just wanted
to share that story.
That is an awesome story. First of all, it's really good that he gave you a thumbs up and didn't use any other finger. So let's just say that's for sure. And then the other part about that is that that's cool, because whether he's listening to the show or not, he agrees with you, knows that that's true. Hey, look, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just get that. Well, let's get that squared away, you know?
Yes. And you know what? He might be listening to the story, to the radio now.
That's exactly right. What a blessing. That's cool. And we do have those bumper stickers. So, we only have so many, but we're going to do an ambassador program, and that'll give people an opportunity to put the bumper sticker on their car if they want to. And nobody wants you to do anything to your car you don't want to. But I really, really appreciate you sharing that story. And that is a great story. And see, every time we're in traffic, we think something bad's going to happen. Instead, hey, there was something good that happened. Somebody standing with you in the faith, perhaps a fellow listener saying, right on. Just right. That's the right target. I bet that blessed you at the moment, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I mean, I love that. Oh, good job. good job in being an ambassador just by sharing that bumper sticker and just by proclaiming the truth. Some people will read that and they might go, I don't know, but it sure challenges a lot of people, doesn't it? It's like, you got to think that through, don't you?
The David Spoon Experience.